Blog Talk Radio.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression. This song for you.
Today's a new day.
Welcome to Renewing Your Mind, helping you realize the true transformation as promised in Romans 12:2. We address the topic of avoidant personality disorder and related conditions. Does criticism destroy you? Do you feel rejected by everyone, or do you feel all alone in the world? Do you feel as if everyone is better than you or everyone is watching? If this describes you, this podcast is for you. If this describes someone close to you, this podcast is for you. This is a space to share experiences, ask questions, support one another, and begin to find healing and hope through the renewing of your mind.
I'll be honest with you.
I almost gave up.
And now, here are your hosts, Philip and Rebecca Dacus.
Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night.
It ain't easy, bud.
Today's a new day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Renewing Your Mind, helping you be transformed by the renewing of your mind, offering hope and healing in today's world. I want to just thank everybody for coming tonight, whether you're listening live or you're listening to the recording. Doesn't matter, both are great. But this is what I refer to as a live podcast, meaning that I'm actually broadcasting live right now through Blog Talk Radio, and you have the ability to call into the show live if you wish. But just like a normal podcast, it will also be recorded, and you can listen to the recorded version, just like a traditional podcast would be. We're talking about avoidant personality. For those of you that maybe have just joined us or aren't entirely familiar with what it is, avoidant personality disorder is, well, it's a extremely complicated mental disorder that really encompasses all the various fears and phobias and such of the mind. Things like hypersensitivity to rejection, isolation, feelings of inadequacy, being overly self-conscious, feeling inferior, just the total inability to cope in social situations, and of course the huge biggie and elephant in the room, which is depression. And of course, that's just a small list. There's actually a whole lot more, but those are the highlights, if you will, the big points that we talk about and that we're working on finding healing from. That's what this podcast is all about. The podcast is every week here on Blog Talk Radio. The website is avoidance.org, which is under construction. The live call-in number, if you do wish to call in with any questions you might have, I want to go ahead and give you that number at 646-668-2841, and I can answer any questions you have live on there. There's also a chat room available. We keep everything very private. We don't talk about any names or anything like that, because especially with something like avoidant personality and depression, typically, it's something that you don't want the world to know about, especially when it comes to an employer or something like that, which may not look too favorably on you saying that you have all of these issues. But we do want to talk about the upside, the healing, the good things. You can always send us any questions you have. It's the email address is restoring@restorationforthemind.com. I'm not going to go through all the rest of the announcements that I usually do, because I have a lot to talk about tonight, and I want to jump right in there and get started on it. And by the way, I do have my co-host with me tonight.
Hello.
Yeah, I apologize. The last couple of weeks, I haven't been able to do the podcast. Just, well, my Rebecca wasn't available for one of those nights, and the other night, I believe there's some sort of technical issues that I ran into. So apologies for that, but typically these are every Wednesday at 7 o'clock Mountain Time until right around 8 o'clock. Tonight's podcast, I want to talk about the journey. Now, what in the world is the journey? You know, a lot of times I hear, well, not a lot of times, most of the time, I hear people that come to us and say, well, you know, why doesn't God just heal me? Why can't I just get healing instantly? And so I wanted to talk about that because there's actually a lot of good reasons why it doesn't happen instantly. And one of them is, you know, there's really no such thing as instant healing. We perceive it as instantly, but all healing takes time. All healing is a process. Sometimes God just speeds up time so that it appears like it's a miracle, miraculous healing. But the reality is all healing takes time. And I'll talk a little bit about that here in a moment of why God does that. Because, you know, all of us, especially when it comes to mental disorders, we want to be healed today. Like tomorrow would have been good, right? Or yesterday. Not tomorrow. Yesterday would have been even better. Because when it comes to mental disorders, this is something that you don't want to deal with. You want to be able to get up out of bed. You want to be able to go out with your friends. You want to be able to have a good time. You want to be able to be in a good relationship. And all of these things are killed by avoidant personality, depression, and so on and so forth. So the question that I want to pose and I want to talk a little bit about is the why. You know, why don't we get healed instantly? Do you have any thoughts off the top of your head on that?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay.
I think maybe I do. I feel like sometimes
I figured you might.
I think sometimes it's a matter of the heart. I think a lot of times it's a matter of the heart. And I think God is most concerned about our heart than our comfort. And sometimes we feel like everything else has to be okay on the outside in order for our life to go smooth. And really what God is saying, you know, like, where are you at in your heart? You
mm-hmm.
know, do you trust me? Do you trust that I love you? Do you trust that I have good things for you? Do I trust that you are worthy? Do you trust when I tell you you are my child and I died for you? All of those things. And when you're dealing with something that's undesirable, like depression, you just kind of feel like you're just kind of an outcast, or that you got second best, or that God didn't love you. He hasn't heard you or whatever. And I just think that God uses those things to get to our heart. So it's really inner working if we just kind of cut to the chase.
Mm-hmm.
And he's more concerned with our heart than he is our comfort.
And the process, the journey. And, you know, it's in our society. And in fact, I was just talking to a friend of mine, or he's a friend now, about this generation and about our society, that we want things instantly. We're a world of instant. We want our instant food, otherwise known as fast food. You drive up to this little window, you place your order, hamburger and fries, please. Then you drive up to the window, you pay for it, they give it to you, a few seconds, bing, bang, boom, you're gone, and you've had dinner. We have instant relationships. They're basically instant through some of these relationship sites and even mail order brides. I'm not sure if they still call it that, but at least in my day, it was mail order brides.
We, I did not come to you.
No, you did not.
By the way.
We have instant coffee. Back when, in my day, and you still have some, a lot of drip coffee systems that took time. And now we have these machines that make you a cup of coffee in just a matter of seconds. We have microwaves. Microwaves used to be you would cook food in the oven. Took an hour or more. Now you can pop it in the microwave and you can have dinner in just a matter of seconds. So all of that just to say that we live on instant. We want everything right now. I even remember the old days when we had dial-up internet. Hated that thing. And nowadays we get online and, well, actually it's on all the time. There's no such thing as having to dial up anymore, although some people have to do it. But the point is we live in a world of instant. We want everything right now. And if it doesn't come right now, then we think something's wrong, right? We think something's broken. And that goes to God as well. If God doesn't heal us just like that, we think something's wrong. We think, oh, well, I've got sin in my life, or there's something I haven't done right. Something has caused the process not to work. And that's not the way God gave it to us. If we look at just a few scriptures in the Bible, in John, Jesus, there's the story of the blind man, the man that was born blind. And what Jesus did, you know, Jesus could have just said, hey, dude, you're healed. Open your eyes. See. He didn't do that. He had a process. And his process was he saw this blind man from birth. He had him, he took some dirt, put some water with the dirt, made some mud, rubbed the mud on his eyes, told the guy to go wash the mud off of his eyes, and then he could see. You know, why did Jesus do this? Why did he use this process? Why didn't he just go, hey, dude, you're healed. Open your eyes. That's not what he did. And there's several other examples in the Bible as well. There's more examples of a process than there is of instant healings. Not to say that instant healings don't happen. They definitely do. But more often than not, there's a process involved, just like that guy that was blind from birth. There was a process. And we have a hard time often understanding this process of why he did this. Why didn't God just presto change, oh, you're healed? And I wanted to explore that a little bit as to why there was a process involved. As to why, because like I said, God could have just healed him. And right. Why didn't he do that?
Well, I think there's always a method to his madness.
Yeah.
And just recently I heard a really fascinating sermon about the Israelites that were being freed from slavery. And they ended up wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. And then they could cross over into the promised land. But really that journey should not have taken them 40 years. And I had always heard, you know, like, you should pray, God, if it can take me, you know, 7 days, you know, just help me in my heart to know what I need to be doing to get me to that destination sooner than later. And all this time I was thinking, until I heard the sermon about that maybe they had things in their heart that wasn't right and God needed to prepare their hearts in order to get them ready for their promised land. So on one hand, I think that that's right. But the sermon was talking about that the Lord delivered these slaves from captivity into the wilderness to go towards their promised land. But they had the whole time they were slaves, they had what they needed. They went, they worked, they were fed, they went back home, they slept, they got up, and they just repeated over and over. They didn't really have the stamina to face the giants that they were going to once they got into the promised land. And so God used that timing, even though it took 40 years, and he took them the long way around. He took them down by the sea and stuff. And he did that deliberately because he could see ahead of them. He saw the giants. He saw that they weren't ready for that battle, and he needed to prepare them. He saw that that the army was going to come behind them, and they needed to be right down by the sea, because that's where they were swallowed up into the sea. Their enemies were swallowed up in the sea, you know? And so it's a matter of God's perspective for that journey that they were on. And I feel like that's the same with the journey that you and I had been on through all of the depression, the anxiety, the avoidant personality, the just everything that has happened in our 16 years of being together. It's like, I used to be kind of mad, like, God, what is the problem? Why can't you get us there quicker? But now, understanding God's perspective and knowing that I trust Him, I see that everything that we're going through and have gone through is not going to be a waste. We can look at our years of being wasted in our arguments, our fights, our turmoil, our lack, our dysfunction. We look at that as wasted time, but God knows what He's doing because He's God.
Exactly.
And so we trust Him in that He's going to redeem that time. And like you said earlier, you know what? Healing doesn't happen just instantly. In my mind, it kind of happened all of a sudden for you. But in reality, looking back, every day was a step towards your healing and deliverance out of avoidant personality.
And it was a long, long journey.
It was happening. Your journey happened before we got married.
Yes.
It started before then, you know?
And there was good reasons for it. And just like the Israelites that had to go through the desert, there was a reason for it. There was a purpose for the journey that God took them on. Exactly what all of that was, I don't really know. And we can speculate on various things, like they had sin in their hearts and blah, 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 but everybody does. So there was something in the journey. And that's the message that I want to get through tonight, is there's a purpose for the journey. It's not God has, just like Rebecca said, a method to His madness. It's not that He is sitting up there going, well, you can't get healed right now.
Yeah, because you're not enough.
You're not there yet. You still have sin problems.
Enough.
There is a purpose for it. There is a reason. Now, often we can't see all of that reason, and if we saw it, we probably wouldn't even want to go through that journey, or wouldn't. Well, we definitely wouldn't want to go through it, because it's no fun having an avoidant personality. But there's a reason why God is taking us through this journey, just like all these other various stories in the Bible of the man that was born blind. And there's so many other stories in the Bible that are exactly the same thing. There was a process that Jesus took the person through. In Mark, there's the story of the man that got healed, and he could not see. It took a while for him to see things clearly. He was seeing like trees, which were the people that just weren't quite in focus yet. So it took some time. And there's so many other stories in the Bible where there was a process, and there's a reason for that process. And I know that we don't like it. It stinks to be in the middle of this work to try and get yourself through depression. It's a horrible thing. I don't want to make any less of it in any way, because it is a terrible thing to have. But I do want to let you know that there is a reason for the process that you're going through.
Well, and I feel like sometimes we're looking to everybody else to find that reason. And tonight, I think that it would be appropriate to just encourage those people to turn to God and ask God, you know, God, why am I going through this? What do you need me to see? Where are there things in my heart? What do you want to empower me? You know, because everybody's going to do something a little bit different. Depression for one person and that journey is going to be different than another person in their journey out of it.
Right. So one size doesn't fit all. to give an example, I used to work with weight loss. I used to work a lot of different supplements that were supposed to help you lose weight. And often I would have people come to me and say, well, this particular supplement doesn't work, or this particular process didn't work. And my response would always be, well, that's because you're unique. You're different. Your body chemistry is different. Your lifestyle is different. So one size doesn't fit all. A particular supplement that worked for one person may not work exactly the same for this other person. So it's the same when it comes to depression, social anxiety, and avoidant personality. What works for one may work a little bit differently for somebody else. Your process is not going to be exactly the same as my process. Your journey isn't going to be exactly the same as my journey. There's going to be differences because we're all unique individuals with unique personalities, unique gifts, and God is going to treat every single one of us differently.
So what do you think your journey was about? Like, what have you learned through your journey?
Well, one of the best things that I've learned is empathy, how to be able to relate to others. Because if I hadn't have gone through this, I would have never been able to relate to people that do. I would have looked at people and said, just, you have some depression, just get over it, or just deal with it, or just read some scriptures and call me in the morning. And in fact, I was just, before the podcast, I had a message board that I was reading, and this person was extremely depressed, and the message board had a lot of various scriptures on it, and the person basically come back and said, well, these scriptures really don't do me any good. They're not helping at all. I have real problems. These are pie in the sky things that just aren't helping. And they have a point to an extent, because scriptures and stuff are great. They're wonderful. They're life. They're our world. That's what provides us hope and healing and joy. But there needs to be some action to it. There needs to be something more. It goes back to faith without works is dead. So you need to put a little bit of action to it. So the scriptures are great, but we also need some practical, like, for instance, sometimes medication takes the edge off sometimes. I'm not the biggest advocate of these sort of drugs, but there are cases where they're helpful. That's an example of some action that's required to back up the scripture.
So what about personally?
Personally, there is so much, you know,
what do you think God showed you personally about you, not towards others or relating towards others, but what did God show you through this journey about who you are?
Who I am? That I'm just a broken person wandering through the wilderness, doing my best to help others. I guess that's the best summary that I can think of, because we're all broken in one respect or another, that are just trying to find hope and healing and trying to make it through this world and come out better. So for me, I've found that I don't have all the answers. Nobody does, except Jesus, and he's the one that we go to. You know, when it comes back to is the journey, and I had a little bit of an example of a journey that I wanted to give you as to why it might be and why it's important to go through this, to go through things, and to, instead of an instant type of fix. And The example I have is in the form of a story, which, hey, I take my example from Jesus. He was a big one for stories, so I think I do pretty well to take after him in that respect. The story is a pretty simple one. This it was someone you know gave you a ring as a gift. And, you know, it was a good ring. It was a pretty ring. You liked the ring a lot. And you valued it. And for a while, you took really good care of the ring. But after the new wore off, you know, you just kind of took that ring and threw it in the jewelry drawer with the rest of your jewelry. And it just, after a while, you see, you kind of forgot it was there. And you even lost the ring. You really had no idea what happened to it after all, though it was just given to you for free. So you decide it's not really a big deal and you just kind of forget about it. So let's rewind that story a little bit and come about it a little bit differently. Now, this time, no one gave you the ring. You saw this ring in the store. And you just had to have it. It was, to you, is the most beautiful ring in the world. And it was just something you had to have, but it was really, really expensive. You scrimped and saved for months and months. And eventually, you saved up enough money to go buy the ring. On the way, you had to make all kinds of sacrifices in order to afford this ring. You couldn't go out to eat. There's just all kinds of little things. You didn't have that cup of coffee down at Moxie Java. You made lots of scrimps and sacrifices so that you could eventually get that ring. One day, you finally had the money, so you just couldn't get to the store fast enough. You got to the store just in time. They only had one ring left. You purchased it, and they wrapped it up for you, and you took it home. Now, this time, when you got home, you found a very special place for your ring in your jewelry drawer so that nothing else would even touch it, your special ring. Every morning, you put on that ring, and every night, you put it back into its place. You loved the ring and wore it proudly. Now, month after month went by, but the new just never seemed to wear off. You loved the ring just as much today as you did when you first bought it. The only difference between these two scenarios is in the first one, it was just given to you. The second one, you had to actually work for it. So in having to work for that ring, there was more value on it. Whereas if it was in the first one where it was free, you didn't really appreciate it that much. And that's the difference in instant healings versus a healing that takes some time and requires some effort. In other words, a journey to get that healing. Because when we finally get to that place where we're healed, we appreciate it that much more. We put value on it because, after all, it took me years and years and years to finally get healed of avoidant personality. So once I got healed, I really appreciate it. If God just waved his magic wand and poof, I was healed, I might not appreciate it so much. I might tend to take it for granted. So that's a big part of the reason why there's a journey that we need to go on, because it helps us to really appreciate what God did for us. It helps us to really put value on it and see that, you know, this was a wonderful thing that God did for me. I'm going to treasure it for the rest of my life, and I'm never, ever, ever going to take it for granted. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's true in most everything that we do in life. If we're just given things, we don't appreciate it as much, but if we have to work for it. But I think that's the danger right there, is to not think that you have to work for your healing. You know, you have to put in a little bit of work, but also you can put a lot more, put your work in your faith and your trust in the Lord, and let him, you know, heal your heart kind of in front, from the inside out. And I definitely noticed that in your life. You know, you were kind of hard-hearted a lot, thick-headed. You overcompensated in what you thought one way was right versus the other. But when you really just, like, stopped and you just came before God and let him do the work in you, you softened. He softened your heart. And because of that, you could hear better. It's like your spirit could hear better because you were more soft-hearted. And I think when people go through this depression and rejection and avoidant personality, you put up so many things in your life to just cope with things that you even kind of do that with your relationship with God. Kind of categorize him as well. I always felt like you thought he would do it for one person, but not really for you, you know? And so that journey is, I guess, true in one way, that if you're working for it, working for that healing, or you'll appreciate it more. But there's a slight difference in that some, you know, with Jesus, we don't really have to work really, really hard, because that just, his healing is there for you, but you do have to surrender to it, you know?
Well, it's just like salvation. You know, salvation is free. All we have to do is ask, and God saves us. But there's also a working out of that salvation on a daily basis. It's not, an analogy might be your finger. You cut your finger, and what happens? It takes time for your finger to heal, for that cut to come together. And it takes, there's a process involved. Now, you didn't really have to work for that cut to get healed. Now, maybe you did put a Band-Aid on it. Maybe you put some new spore on or whatever on it, but you didn't really have to work at it. God did the work. You just had to wait for that healing to take place. And avoidant personality is kind of like that finger. You're cut. You're cut very deeply to your soul. Your soul is sick. And it takes time for those wounds to mend. Now, that doesn't say that, of course, that healing's not there for you, but these things take time, because these are really, really extremely deep wounds that we're talking about, and they do take some time to mend. So I guess the main thing I just wanted to talk about tonight, or present tonight, was that there is a process to the healing, and that it's really okay. Because I hear people that come to me all the time and they say, well, you know, God hasn't healed me yet, so I must not be worth being healed, or something is wrong with me, so therefore I just need to roll over and die. And that is not the case at all. The case is that there is healing available. You can be healed every single day, but there is a process, and there's a reason for the process. There's a reason for the journey. There's joy to be found in the journey. Now, I know that that's difficult to see sometimes when they're right in the middle of it, but there is joy.
Oh, yeah, we couldn't see any joy in our journey.
Definitely not.
I couldn't. I was completely hopeless in it. And I think that's something to maybe encourage the listeners that are feeling that way too. It's probably a very natural thing to feel like you have no joy. I mean, we've had some knockdown dragouts.
Yes, we have.
As a result of your being avoidant personality disorder. And as being the normal, a lot of joy was stole from it,
mm-hmm.
from my life. And I feel like the only way I even really made it through most of it is just trusting God and just knowing that He was in control, even when I felt completely out of control.
Mm-hmm.
When I was angry and frustrated, why did you give me a husband that was so screwed up? You know, why do I have to have this situation in my life? What did I do to deserve this? Like, why can't you just hurry up and heal him? You know, all of these things. And so, you know, try to be easy on yourself and just know that you have to take the moments where you can find the joy. You can't fix that person. They don't need a savior. They already have one. Let the Lord lead them if they're open and willing, you know, to have that. And that's one thing I feel grateful that you had the Lord in your life. And there's probably a lot of people that don't, that are dealing with avoidant personality disorder. And that's why we always tell people, you know, without God, you can't, your chances of it being healed the right way are zero, you know. So if you don't have the Lord in your heart, if you don't trust in Him, if you're not asking Him to be your Savior, then just tonight do that. Just ask Him, you know, please come into my life, forgive me for my sin, and set me on a path that you have for me. Help me to be healed from the inside out, and help me to hear your voice, and help me. And it's not going to be a big boom. It's not going to be a big thunderbolt. There's not going to be a lot of shock waves, and maybe there will be, I don't know. But God is also, He whispers too, you know, and trust that. Trust that if you're seeking Him, it says in the Bible, if you draw close to God, He draws close to you. And so if you make that step tonight to just ask Him into your life, then trust that He's going to be drawing closer to you. And that's the opportunity He's been waiting for, is for you to surrender that, which is another really good part about the journey, is there's surrender in this journey. And I watched that with Philip, surrendering, because I saw him digging his heels in and fighting and just so ornery about things. And then one day he just surrendered. And that's where I feel like the healing, even though the healing had been going on at deeper levels, I feel like that wound started closing quicker so I could see it outwardly.
And that's such a very common thing with people that have avoidant personality disorder, is they tend to be a little bit on the stubborn side. They tend to think that they have it all figured out and they know it all. And
well, don't let pride come between you and that healing. And I watched that a lot in your journey, is just so much pride. And you know what? Pride comes before the fall. And we unfortunately had to fall pretty far and pretty hard.
Yes, and I think that's probably a fairly common thing, is that our wills have to be broken before we're willing to reach out and for that healing. Because even more so with people that have avoidant personality disorder, the tendency is to be stubborn. The tendency is to be proud and to not ask for help, even though something on the inside might be crying out for help. Outwardly, you can't display that because it's a sign of weakness, and it's a sign of acceptance. And if I accept other people, or if I reach out to other people, then I'm opening myself up to rejection. And I can't have that as an avoidant personality disorder. So therefore, I have to rely on myself. I'm the only one that is the ultimate authority of me. I'm the one that has to be in control of me. I'm the one that has to take care of me. And the thought of reaching out to anybody else is a horrible thought, because what if they hurt me? What if they reject me? What if they destroy me? And I'm not going to allow that to happen. Or at least that's the mindset of the person with the voice of personality disorder.
So you could actually say to my previous question, what did the Lord show you? I think the Lord showed you absolutely opposite of what you just said through this whole process.
I would certainly agree with that.
Yeah.
You know, I read something somewhere that really, I wouldn't say opened my eyes, but it's not something I haven't known before, but sometimes revelations just kind of kick you in the pants. You can read a certain scripture a million times and you don't get it, and then all of a sudden you read it that million first time and just God turns on the light bulb. And depression is having no hope. You have no hope whatsoever. You don't hope for a mate or a girlfriend. You don't hope for a job. You don't hope that you'll even wake up in the morning. You have no hope whatsoever. Depression is the total absence of hope. Now, God is the complete opposite of that. God is total hope. All hope is in God and because of God. So if you're suffering from depression, you need to reach out to God. Just like Rebecca said, there's really no hope without God. You have to have him in your life. You have to reach out. So when you're depressed, you're like a battery that is completely run down. You have, in fact, it's not only run down, it's discharging. It's going the complete polar opposite of being charged. So how do you charge a battery that's completely run down? Well, you need to plug it into a power source. You need to get it around other people that are power sources. If you're hanging around people that are Debbie Downers and saying, well, the president's horrible, the government's horrible, my job's horrible, my wife or my husband is horrible, then guess what? You're just kind of draining yourself all the more, and eventually you're going to crash and burn. What you need to do is you need to get yourself into some positive places, some positive people. You need to charge up your battery. That's what it means. That's the way you're going to overcome depression. You're going to need to get around some positive places. Be that church, be that your family, be it friends. Go to some positivity seminars. Whatever works for you. Go do that. Go find yourself some places where you can charge up that battery that's become completely depleted. Now, it's not always simple. I don't want to come across that everything is just simplicity, because these are difficult things to find. I didn't find healing overnight. I didn't find the answers to these things overnight.
Actually, it had to get pretty bad before you did.
It took a long time. There was a lot of Turon to get up that hill or whatever it is. The Jefferson's moving on up to the sky, wherever that thing goes. So just saying that these things take time. They don't happen overnight. But you can take positive steps today. You can get out there and start making a difference. Take baby steps. Go find some friends that talk positively about things. Go attend a church service. Even if you have to sit in the back and just kind of keep to yourself, that's fine. Take baby steps. Eventually work your way up or whatever. Take baby steps and get out there. Maybe go find an activity that you can do. Go take a walk outside. When I was having my huge bouts of depression, I would sit in the dark, close all the windows, close all the shades, turn off the lights, sit in the dark, and guess what? that made things even worse. You know, go figure, right? You can't do that. If you want to get out of depression, you want to get out of avoidant personality disorder, you have to start moving in the right direction. And to do that, you need to find some things that are going to help you.
Well, what's kind of ironic is I'm a really positive individual.
Yes, sure.
And I feel like God let us be together for me to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And you were so resistant to it for so long. You know, like the answer was pretty much sitting right next to you in anything that I said or did about, like, let's go do this or let's go do that. You wouldn't do it. Like,
mm-hmm.
I remember saying, you should try this or you should try that, and you just wouldn't do it. So to the people out there that maybe have a positive person, you probably won't even have to go very far to find someone that can help bring you up.
Yep.
But to the person that's trying to be, you know, bring that person up, it's so much harder to lift someone up than it is to be pulled down. And so the normal in the relationship has to, I know that for me, I just had to let you fall. I couldn't be your crutch anymore. And it was a sink or swim moment for you. And I feel like in our journey, I tried really hard to be that person that lifted you up all of the time. I tried hard to be the savior of your life. And so the people that are listening that are in those relationships, you're not going to be that to that person.
Well, I think it's pretty common among women that they always think that they can fix their mate.
Well, to be fair, though, we've had listener that was a man that wrote in that had the woman that, you know,
mm-hmm.
sometimes men want to be the fixers and the protectors and all that, which they should be.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there's a should be a balance and a mutual thing to it. Like, nobody can be saved. I think God lets people come by your side to help you, but have the wisdom to know that that person's there to help you. Not, and like you said earlier, you have to be in control. So you let those people come as close to you as you possibly let them, that you feel comfortable. Well, if it's your spouse and he or she loves you and is trying, then maybe the step you need to take is just opening your life up to them just a little bit more.
And that comes down to trust. And trust is extremely difficult to come by for someone that has avoidant personality disorder, because you've been hurt. You've been hurt a lot, been hurt extremely deeply. And to be able to trust that person is a foreign concept. It's just something that you can't do because you don't want to take that risk that you'll be hurt. But
so how did you get over that with me not wanting to be hurt or
well, for me, it was finally come to the realization that you weren't going to hurt me. I finally had to decide to just figure it out in my head and my heart and just come to make that decision that you weren't out to hurt me. And I know that that was never the case, but head knowledge and heart knowledge are two different things.
That's where we can
know
right?
things in our head for ever and ever and ever, and they never quite make it to the heart because there's a big wall there and they just don't connect. And
ooh, which kind of goes back to what I was saying this morning or earlier, that it's a matter of the heart.
It's a matter. Well, everything is a matter of the heart. Even Jesus took everything a matter of the heart. In the Old Testament was kind of our example of the head, because there was a lot of rules and regulations in the Old Testament and do this and don't do that and blah, blah, blah. And then Jesus came on the scene and he took everything and put it into a heart mode and said, well, you don't need all of those rules and regulations. They're all summed up in the one word, love. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to kill them. You're not going to lie to them. You're not going to do all these other things because you love them. So love summed up all of that stuff, so really didn't need that anymore. So I completely lost my train of thought of where I was going with that.
Well, you said that you finally made up your mind that I wasn't going to hurt you.
Yes. So it was a total heart thing. I had to finally come to the realization and just make up my mind, make up my heart that you weren't out to hurt me. And it was really, I won't say it's as simple as that, because it really wasn't a simple thing to finally let you in. It wasn't that simple. But something is broken in the person that has avoidant personality disorder, that they think that everybody is going to hurt them, even somebody that's the closest to them, and they're not going to let that person in because they probably will hurt you too.
And the ironic part is, through the whole time, you are really hurting me. And then when the table got turned, I was worried that you were going to hurt me.
Right.
And that you didn't love me. So it becomes extremely distorted, which is a really ugly thing that the enemy uses all of this, you know, against one another.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy is like, oh, yeah, let's go ahead and use depression. I'm going to whisper to you, you can't trust that person. You can't trust that person. And then someone like me that was just like, oh, I want to love you. I want to love you. And then all of a sudden you treated me like this for so long that it started creeping into my life of mistrusting you. And so I think that, you know, like, you want to talk about a journey. It's multi-leveled and multi-layered and multifaceted, as well as the rest of the people listening. I'm sure they all have their things. So, but in the process of all of that, I realized that there were heart issues in me. So God uses all things together for the
good. So you had a journey too.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's the part that I wanted to get to or ask about is, mm-hmm. What did God teach you in all of this?
Well, I never quit having the faith to believe God for the big things, like healing and restoration. Sometimes my head and my logic would overrule it, but my heart was always full of faith. And that's just kind of what I lived on for a really long time, until I couldn't handle it anymore, until I just had to let it all fall away and mm-hmm. just ask God to do the best that he could. But through all of that, I had to keep trusting him, and I had to keep believing the promises that he has and that he's told me and that he's shown me in his word. You know, like, I didn't ever get married to get divorced. I never got married to be in a relationship which I considered to be very abusive emotionally. Not physically, but emotionally. And I had to learn, too, that, you know, mental illness is just as real as any other illness.
If not more so, because it resides in the mind, which controls the entire body. So, in some respects, I would consider it even more real than the physical.
All illnesses are.
All illnesses,
but when you're looking at somebody who deals with depression or anxiety or something like that, you know, it's just like, pull yourself together. But I had to have levels of compassion towards you. Mm-hmm. Even when I didn't want to, when I was angry and hard-hearted towards you. But the Bible says, you know, don't let your heart be hardened. And I feel like through this process, even when it was really, really hard and things that happened to me that was not fair and I should not have been treated that way.
No, it's not.
I feel like, you know, I had to learn to have a pliable heart and trust in God regardless of what the situation was presenting. So my faith in the Lord deepened more than I had ever experienced.
Perfect. So to kind of wrap things up, because we're just about out of time for this week. We have learned that there's a journey, there's a process, that healings don't take place instantly. They can seem instant, but that's just because God's speeding up time to make them seem instantly. But we tend to think of those as the miraculous, and often we don't think of the ones that take the time as miraculous. But the Bible actually tells us, gives us tons of examples to show us that it is indeed a process, and that's exactly why God, Jesus, did the healings the way he did, to give us that example that, hey, there is a process, there is a journey that's involved, and it's a good thing to go in that through that journey. Now, often we're not going to like it. In fact, most of the time we're not going to like it. I sure didn't like it when I was going through avoidant personality and when I was going through all the things that I did. I did not like it one little bit. But now that I'm out on the other side, I can say I am glad I went through the journey, because I've learned so much. And now I'm able to reach out to others and help them. So if I hadn't have gone through what I did, I wouldn't be here right now talking on the radio and helping people. So I'm grateful for every little thing that I went through. Now, my wife may not entirely agree with that, but
well, it wasn't fun. I'm not gonna
lie. It wasn't fun, definitely not.
I have a lot of empathy for people. Like, just not too long ago, a lady that was doing my nails was telling me she went through she's going through the exact same thing. Like, we would complete each other's sentences because we can identify so much with one another, but where it stopped short is the fact that her husband doesn't know the Lord, doesn't have a relationship with the Lord, doesn't have an open heart to the Lord and the things of God, and to know the goodness of God and to know that he's worthy of being healed and whatnot. And so I just am very grateful that, you know, you have the Lord. That's one of the things that drew me to you to begin with, is that you knew God and that you wanted to serve the Lord. And so to the people that maybe have a spouse that have this condition that do not have the Lord, pray for their salvation. If you don't have the Lord, get the Lord, get God. And, you know, he can redeem the time. He can redeem it. He'll take all things, all of the crap that you've gone through, all of the sleepless nights, all of the worrying, all of the gray hair, all of the stomach issues because you've been worrying about things, the headache, the stress, all of that. God will take all of that and he'll turn it around into something really wonderful. And then you can have your moment where people are drawn to you because they saw God in you and they saw him do a good work in you. And that's what it's really going to come down to.
Mm-hmm. And Rebecca makes a great point. And in fact, something that I want to take care of right now. And I may start doing this at the end of every single show, because I always pray at the end of every single show, because, you know, this is a tough thing, avoidant personality, something that you need help. You can't do this alone. If you think you can, you can't. You're lying to yourself, and you're probably going to end up a big mess. Don't try to go it alone. And if you're the normal in the relationship, you have just as much, if not more, burden. So you can't go it alone either. Don't try. You may end up in a loony bin. I don't know. You don't do it alone. Don't try. You have to have help. And that's exactly what I want to do. And I want to pray right now. And I would ask that every single person out there that is listening would pray a simple prayer right now to ask Jesus in your heart. Now, if you already have them, that's great, but we're going to do it anyway. So, Jesus, right now, come into my heart. Save me from my sins. I don't always feel like I deserve it. In fact, I often don't. But you know, I don't have to. I know you're going to come in. I know you're going to clean house. I know you're going to take care of all of these sins. I know you're going to take care of all the dirt and grime and everything else that you find in there and save me and make me a new person. Clean up all the depression and social anxiety in right now. Just take all of that away and start that healing journey, start that healing process that I know only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, hey, welcome aboard. We'll get this healing process going, because as we learned, as we've learned tonight, it's not an instant thing. Even if you don't feel it, you don't matter. The feelings are not the important thing. What matters is that you ask Jesus into your heart. That's the important part. Then the rest of it is God's job. So with that, I will go ahead and end tonight's broadcast, and I will see you, or talk to you actually, next Wednesday at this same time.
This has been Renewing Your Mind with Philip and Rebecca Dacus. Find more resources at our website, avoidance.org, and join us again next time for Renewing Your Mind.
Hardship, difficulty, tears, storm, this is what I do.
Oh,
that feels good.
I know God is working, so I smile.
All things are working.
Even though I've been here for a while,
still,
I smile.
See, I just don't want you to be happy, but then you gotta have something happen. I want you to have joy, cause can't nobody take that from you. I see you. Smile.